Welcome back to Sound Medicine, Public Radio's weekly magazine about medicine and health. I'm Barbara Lewis. Why do some people fold under pressure while others thrive? That is the question asked in the new book, Clutch. Sound Medicine's Steve Bodgwick spoke with the author and New York Times columnist, Paul Sullivan.
Paul Sullivan, welcome to Sound Medicine.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
We all know that some people thrive under pressure while others choke, and you've written a book about this very subject. And so let's go right to the core. What is it that makes some people clutch and others fold?
Well, I mean, I define clutch as the ability to do what you can do under normal conditions, but under pressure. And I say that up front, so it takes any element of luck out of it. And over the course of several years of research, I found that people who are great under pressure, regardless if they're attorneys, bankers, athletes, military people, they share five traits. And those five traits are focus, discipline, adaptability, presence, and what I call the push and pull of fear and desire.
Of all those, I wonder if you might elaborate a bit on how do you define presence?
Presence is, if you think about all those times you've had to get up and give a speech in front of a group of people, some people seem to be naturals at it. Others who are equally, if not more intelligent, struggle. The reason they struggle is because they don't get up there and think, I am the expert on this. I'm just going to talk to this audience and we'll see how it goes. The reason they struggle is because they get up there and think, oh boy, if I flub this, this is going to cost my company X, or it's going to embarrass me publicly in front of this group of people. Or even worse, they think back to a time, the last time they did it, and they did, flub a line. They got up there and they choked. And so presence is essentially the ability to be in that moment and think only about that task.
So I'm curious about some of the research you did. For instance, you've interviewed dozens of clutch performers, most notably Tiger Woods, who at least until recently was celebrated as one of the great clutch performers at all time. What'd you learn about clutch from him?
Yeah, Tiger was incredibly interesting even before everything that has happened subsequently. He and I sat down together in Asheville, North Carolina in the early fall of 2008. This is relevant because it was shortly after he'd won the U.S. Open on essentially, one leg, as people say. Immediately after the U.S. Open, he had knee surgery, and that sort of solidified his image in our minds as perhaps the most clutch athlete of all time. And when we sat down, I wanted to know, quite simply, how do you do it? How did you do it? And, he looked at me and he thought a bit and he said, well, quite honestly, I put myself in that position more than anybody else. And I failed more than anybody else. But I've been there. And, we talked about a few other things and I left thinking, well, that wasn't the greatest answer, but it makes sense. He can do these things normally. He's a fantastic golfer. He's used to being out there Sunday in the last group. And, the pressure is just part of that for him. But fast forward a year, I'm, wrapping up the first draft, sitting on my couch just after Thanksgiving, and, I get an email on my BlackBerry saying Tiger Woods crashed his car. Well, my worst angels think, oh boy, if he's dead, I may have gotten one of the last interviews ever with Tiger. But my better angels say, what does this mean? And of course, we all found out what it meant in the ensuing 3 months after that crash. And during that time, Tiger, for my purposes, for the purposes of this book, actually became a much more interesting and a much more compelling figure. Why? Because he showed that just because you can be clutch in one area of your life, golf, does not mean that that ability under pressure is going to transfer or translate to another area of your life. Tiger was in this cocoon. He'd created this bubble for himself that allowed him, off the golf course to possess the three qualities of people who choke under pressure, and that's failure to accept responsibility, overconfidence, and overthinking your role to the game, to the business, to society. And that's really what Tiger did when he choked in handling his personal scandal.
Is this something that the average person should be able to benefit from, accomplish?
It It is, but I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to joke and be very precise here. It's not easy. I mean, because if it was easy, everybody would be great under pressure. You're not going to go from, you know, being somebody who shoots a 90 at golf and read this book and suddenly shoot a 75. What's going to happen is, using that, you know, golf analogy, you're going to become better, or you're going to be able to play at the same level under normal conditions as under, you know, highly pressurized situations. So, I mean, I think in a family context, you know, you go home, you've got, you know, three kids, they all want something from you at once. You know, what do you got, another two people asking for stuff? There's a lot going on. I mean, stress is simply, in my view, the internal version of pressure. Pressure is external. And applying these five traits systematically can help anybody manage those situations. But, you know, look, there are going to be times when we still fail under pressure, but I do think we can get better at it.
Paul Sullivan is a business columnist for the New York Times and the author of Clutch. Paul, thank you so much for being with us today on Sound Medicine.
Great. Thank you for having me on. It was good fun.